Please raise your hand. Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. Without you guys, we wouldn't be here. Like, seriously, we would not at all be here.
It's true.
So, I'm not even being sweet. I'm just being honest. Thank you for being a mother. Thank you guys for being here this morning and being part of this family that we have. Thank you for coming on a day when we can celebrate God's gift to us as mothers. What you do for us, we can't even explain. I've seen so many posts on Facebook. I've seen so many tweets. I've seen so many things that people have written about how their mom is the best, and each and every one of you are. Each and every one of you are God's gift to us. That you put up with us when we are at our worst. You love us through things that nobody else would. And you choose to see the good in us. And we love you for it. We honor you this morning, mothers. I'm excited about the message this morning. I'm excited about what's going on in this church. I'm excited about the way we can have an effect on our community. I'm excited about what God's doing through us here at Eagles Way. This next weekend, we have Rushton Hope coming up. And if you don't know what Rushton Hope is, please get with me after the service. All week long, the homeless and the downtrodden get fed all week long. On the weekends, they don't have anything. So there's a place called Rushton Hope that opened up, and every weekend, somebody sponsors that weekend, and they feed them, and they clothe them, and they help them. Well, this weekend is our weekend. Third weekend in every month. So if you want to know more about that, if you want to volunteer, please get with me after the service, and I'll be right out there, and I'm more than willing to talk about it. God bless you. God bless the mothers. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
that you are all I need. And I believe that you're my portion. And I believe that you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
Change things. And I cried out, "I'm slipping, but your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer." And I thought about my mom and Michael's mom, because I'm sure they had lots of doubts and fears when they've been walking with me and Michael all these years. And yet the unfailing love that Christ represents lives in their hearts, and I'm so blessed that I have a mother and another mother that loves me unconditionally, just like Jesus does, and caring for us and standing beside us, and like that song a while ago said, the hands have wrought. I'm sure they spent many, many days just trusting and walking in that. And so I thought it was kind of fitting that my mother's, thank you for that unconditional love. Love you.
At the stars in the night, I wonder. At your lightning in the sky, I shudder. Your glory is a blanket that covers every living thing. I'm in awe at the majesty of who you are. Your love is a seal burnt inside my heart. All of the day I wanna be where you are.
this opportunity to come in and give you praise, to worship your holy name, God, that we can come together as a body and love you back and love you wholeheartedly and love one another. We thank you so much for the love and the compassion that you pour out on our lives each and every day, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Amen. You may be seated.
Right quick before you be seated, just stand back up. About 10 years ago, you stand back up, please. We have a sacrament to do this morning. About 10 years or so ago, I can't remember exactly when, but we have four sacraments at Eagles Way Church. One is that communion, which we did last week, is a sacrament of the church. Water baptism is a sacrament of the church. We are the first Protestant church I know of that adopted the Catholic of marriage being a sacrament of the church. And several years ago, as I was reading in James, we came across this scripture that I grew up Pentecostal, so we did this since I was a kid. But that, the word in that song, wonder, is a huge word to me. Because in all these years of ministry, the one thing that amazes me at all times is there's a wonderment about God, about Christianity. And this sacrament this morning is the biggest wonder I have. And even though we don't see everybody we pray for healed, we don't see every time it happens. As a matter of fact, it's few and far between. But you know, it's a sacrament that I have to believe in and I have to trust in. I do believe that when we pass from this life to the other life, that that's a healing. I was praying for a lady in the hospital several months ago, and I prayed for her many times. But when I went this time to pray for her, when I looked at her, and she couldn't speak, but she looked at me, and I knew what she was saying. And she was saying, "Do not pray that I be healed. I'm ready to go on." And I'll never forget that look. But if you're here today, and just let me read this scripture. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? Sing praises. Any of you sick? Call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed sins, you will be forgiven. Wow, that's enough right there to come. But if you're here today and it's something in your life, in your body, in your mind and soul that you need healing, we ask you to just come and stand across the front, and one of the elders are going to come and anoint you with oil and pray that the Lord will heal you, raise you up, and if you've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Father, we just give you praise and honor and glory and give you thanks in advance that, Lord, as we have received by faith what you have imparted, we go in peace, believing, Lord, that all things are possible with you in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. As our ushers, they'll be coming to receive our morning tithes and offerings. And as they're doing that, just give me your attention for just a moment. Thank you. I wasn't here. I know Will shared with you about the offering on for the sound system and all. Thank you for your faithfulness. We got enough money to do our first phase. And, we're waiting. Going to have a new board. I think they call it something else now, but it's still a soundboard to me. But getting a new soundboard, all new wiring, new mics, inner ear monitors. Level's going to be a lot better. And just thank you for that, for your faithfulness. And we're waiting on the new soundboard to come out. There's one that's supposed to be Mac Daddy, you know. There's always a Mac Daddy coming. How many know that? Always gets better. And so we got a Mac Daddy coming. And we're just waiting on that to come out. And next week is our second 50-year anniversary service. 50-year anniversary service next Sunday. Now, and that's our cookout. So there's two awesome things happening next Sunday. I'm talking awesome. One, my favorite preacher in the world is going to be here, Charles Simpson. That's some of you don't, y'all don't even know Charles. My favorite preacher in the world is going to be here. You better be here. He is my favorite. You will laugh. You will cry. He can tell you, he's got more jokes than anybody I know on the face of the earth, and he can entwine them into a message like nobody else. So be here to hear Charles. This guy is an awesome, awesome speaker, awesome, awesome preacher. And then we're going to the pavilion and having Donnie Pork Chops Barbecue. Whew. Y'all clapping more for that than you are the preacher. I'm telling you, Donnie, you get more claps than that. And it's not just barbecue. It's not ground barbecue. It's pool barbecue. I didn't know the difference until Donnie Pork Chop came among our midst. I've learned a lot about barbecue since then. This is pool barbecue. Sandwich, baked beans, slaw. It's going to be a great time. So, that's our gift to you next Sunday for you being such a wonderful church. I have had the privilege of passing you a long, long time, and I am so grateful and thankful for you. You're just, this is to honor you this year is what this 50 years is all about. And we just thank God for, and Charles Simpson is going to preach. I guarantee you, I'm going to say one more thing about him. You're going to hear next Sunday the best message you've ever heard on the purpose of the local church. This guy's going to make the local church, he's going to tell you things, preach things about the local church, going to make you so glad you're part of the local church. He can do it. Hey, and there's two people, believe me. I need two more people just to say, I believe you too. All right, thank you, thank you. Appreciate that. All right, thank you for this offering. Lord, we bless it. We thank you that as we bring our tithes and offerings into you, that you open the windows of heaven, you pour out blessings that there's not room enough to receive. You rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Whatsoever we put our hands to do will prosper, and we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I would introduce this lady, but I think you know her. I've known her for quite a while. She turned into something I never thought she'd turn into, but I'm glad she did. Would you welcome my daughter, Dusty?
Don't know what I turned into. Turned into something he never thought I'd turn into. Well, happy Mother's Day. I'd like to say for sure happy Mother's Day to my mom, who has done an amazing job raising my dad and myself. I put together a list that I wanted to start out with of the top 10 things I never imagined saying before becoming a mother. And you know, you really never imagine what motherhood's going to be like until you're thrust into it. And, you know, before you become a mother, you go about your daily life just saying normal things, you know, like it's time to eat breakfast or, you know, just normal things. But then you have children and things you never thought you would end up saying, you say. And so I did the best I could to take this huge list of things that I could spill over and come up with a top 10. So I'm going to start it off with top 10 things I never imagined saying before becoming a mother. Number 10, please don't hide eggs under your pillow. That's an egg under Jet's pillow. Number 9, what was going through your head when you decided to take a pair of scissors and cut up our comforter? Any guesses who that would have been? Number 8, ask us next time you want to take your dad's wedding ring to school for show and tell. And it was probably a couple of weeks later, we couldn't find his glasses that he needs to fly airplanes with, that those also went to school for show and tell. Number 7, it's not okay to be Hulk in the hotel lobby and punch strangers in the gut. It's not okay. They don't know you. Number 6, there's no reason to pull your pants down while going through airport security. I don't have a picture of Anna pulling her pants down, but what I do have is this very same trip, everything they pulled out of John Henry's pockets, TSA did, because every time he'd go through, it would beep. He'd go through again, it would beep. And I'm like, will you please empty everything in your pockets? Number 5, please don't pee on the dog. This is Brew. He's been peed on. Number 4, taking a bath and changing your underwear is non-negotiable. Number 3, wearing underwear is non-negotiable. Number 2, Captain America poops on the potty. Iron Man poops on the potty. Hulk poops on the potty. Thor poops on the potty. And Jet can poop on the potty. And number 1, I'll pay you each $10 if you won't talk to me for one whole hour. These are things you just never imagine you're going to say, but that's real life, and you end up saying them. Now, had I developed a list of things I never imagined Anna Tackle saying, you would never beat the Baptist to the buffet. And you're probably looking at the back of your bulletin thinking you're still not going to beat them to the buffet, but I promise you, you will. Nothing quite prepares you for motherhood until you're there. I do have moms who will ask me for parenting advice every now and then. I'm not sure why. I'm doing my best to navigate through this. And sometimes I have something I can give them, and sometimes I'm like, you got me. But one thing I've learned is that we all have, as mothers and as fathers, the same mission in parenting our children. We just all have different methods, and that's okay. And that's why the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. So we all have different methods, the same mission. And I used to think there was no instruction manual, but I've learned that there really is. And it's my job as their mother, and it's your job to find that manual, that divine manual, and train him up in the way they should go. All that being said, there are some foundational truths that I have learned and that I feel work not only in my relationship with my children, but in my relationship with my spouse and with you. And Abe Lincoln said, one of my favorite quotes, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Now, my mom didn't give me a brother or a sister, but what she did give me, and what my dad gave me through their investment in Eagles Way, were a lot of mothers. And in Isaiah 51:1, it says, listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord, consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were mined. This is a scripture to Israel, and the rock was Abraham. And Abraham was the original call, the foundation. Abraham, the rock symbolized Israel's origin. And so what I want to do, I want to share from my heart this morning, share about the rock from which I was cut. And in doing so, I hope I'm able to honor a few of my mothers who made up my rock. And I hope I'm able to, in doing that, impart to you those foundational truths that will help you on this journey. So, we're going to do this, and we're not going to cry, and we're going to be tough through it. And eight lessons from the rock. Had to start it off with number one. Don't yell at your kids. You'll just make them mad. And that's Big Mama, if you couldn't even just read that without knowing. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Colossians 4, and one of my most favorite scriptures, let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. And then in Ephesians, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them, but bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. If there's one thing that we've learned through the School of Positive Thinking is that everything responds to sound and tone, how we say it. And nothing really tests our tone like the people we live with. And, you know, I try really hard not to yell at my kids. I've done it. Anna's here, and if I were to tell you I don't yell, she'd be like, yeah, you do. Of course, Anna thinks sometimes I'm yelling when I'm not yelling. I could say, Anna, go clean your room. Anna, will you please go clean your room? You don't have to yell. I'm like, Anna, would you rather me say, Pumpkin, it's time to go clean your room? And she's like, now that's something I can get on board with. And so it's hard to always, you know, especially the people we live with, to keep that sound and tone. But if you remember in scriptures, when they talked about Jesus, and they didn't say it was what he said, but they always said he spoke like no other. It was how he said it. Of course, Big Mama, she really can't even handle spankings. And I remember one time, Dad, I was young, and Dad decided he was going to break my will. And he took me to the back bedroom. Big Mama was there. And he says, I don't care what you hear. Do not come back here. And Big Mama, she just cried and cried. I can remember one time in a service, Dad was preaching, and my mom took me out of the service. And I am yelling to the congregation, y'all, please pray. Pray. And Big Mama just thought, that is not right. What I really don't get now is that now, all of a sudden, since Dad has grandchildren, suddenly he doesn't believe in spanking anymore. And I thought, well, that's convenient. But we have to be aware of how we speak to our kids. And when you mess up, and you do, I mess up, it's important to go to them and tell them, hey, I really, really messed this up. I've done that many times. I went to John Henry long ago, and I said, John Henry, I did not handle that well. I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? And, of course, he says, yes. And Anna says, that's okay, John Henry. Anna doesn't handle well. I mean, Mom doesn't handle well things well with me sometimes either. That's just the way she is. And then she says, do you, Mom? I'm like, no, Anna, I don't. Mark 9, verse 33 says, after they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing out on the road? But they didn't answer, because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. But then he put a little child among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me. One translation says, whoever receives a child receives me. And see, if I can remember that when I'm yelling at my kids, I'm really yelling at God. It kind of shifts your perspective on that. And sound and tone, you know, they are his and they are of him. That's big, Mama. Don't yell at your kids. You'll just make them mad. Number two, cut from my rock, is Miss Penny Doss. Words are important. You can think or act, but telling someone why you love them matters. When I was probably 10 or 11 years old, we were invited to the Doss home on Birdie Road. And some of you may have grown up being invited to the Doss home on Birdie Road and you just didn't have dinner. I remember on the table there was a like this cup with these scrolls like wrapped up and stuck in the cup. And at the end of the dinner, everybody pulled out a scroll, and Kate had to write something she liked about me or a blessing. And so we ran around the table and we heard why they liked us or what kind of, you know, they a blessing on us. And it came to be known as the Doss thing. Raise your hand if you've been in a room and you've done the Doss thing. Will has done the Doss thing. And it's, you know, it's go around the room and you tell three things why you love that person. And we used to kind of a little bit make fun, not completely make fun, but we've realized now words are important. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I'm sure if I asked you today to go back and think about a time where someone said something to you that hurt, like you could probably really pull up that painful word, that painful thing, and you can even feel the pain associated with it, because that's the power of our words. But we have this ability to take our words and create life with them, to create, to frame our world. You know, the scripture says that God is Jehovah Elohim. He is creator, and that he created the world with his words. When he said, let there be light, he spoke it, and it was. He didn't think about light. He spoke, let there be light, and there was. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. In Proverbs 16, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. You know, you can say, I don't have to tell my kids, I don't have to tell the people in my life why I love them. I show them. And that's important. But I bet you if you ask Penny Doss today, is she glad Josh Doss knows why she loved him? I bet she would say yes. And isn't she glad that she heard why Josh loved her? Words are important. Number three, you know her as Susan Woodward. I know her as Mimi. And that is accept and embrace each other's differences. I've learned really, really fast that after Anna was born, the same things that work with John Henry don't work with Anna. And, you know, not always the same things that worked with one of those two work with Jet, because they're all so different. And it's okay to be different. One thing Mimi could tell you right now is what is unique and marvelous about each of her grandchildren. She can go through, and the cool thing about Mimi is that she can tell you what's unique and marvelous about you. Proverbs 139 says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Our thoughts about our children, my thoughts about you, should be precious. Their thoughts should not be able to be numbered, because Dad preached a message in the I Am series, and he says, make the decision to be who you are. And one of the hardest things I've had to do as a mom is to make the decision to allow my children to be who they are. You know, you want them to fit this mold, or we want people to fit this mold, but when we make the decision to allow them to be who they are, that's where we see the creativity of God. That's where we love and we embrace and we enjoy them, and we start to get them, you know? In Proverbs 22:6, I shared this earlier, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't say train up a child in the way we all should go. It says in the way he should go. So it's important to accept and embrace each other's differences. One of my, just a side note of some advice Mimi gave me on marriage. I was taking her to get her hair done one day, and I had Chris kind of in charge of picking up the kids, going here and going there, and I'm trying to tell him on the phone what he needs to do. And I get off the phone, and I just said, Mimi, I think Chris listens to half of everything I tell him. And she said, honey, if he listens to half, he's doing good. And so I have never forgotten that. And I told Chris, and Chris said, I love Mimi. I'm like, everybody loves Mimi. Accept and embrace each other's differences. Number four, Miss Kitty Grubbs taught me to see more in your children than they see in themselves, and one day they will see it too. To focus on their strengths and not their weaknesses. Always see greatness. Talk about their greatness. One thing I never heard Kitty do was uncover any weakness of her children. And I was around her a lot. I babysat. I helped homeschool David and Andy, and I never heard her talk about something that was negative about her kids. It's not that you're not aware of things that they've got to work through and process, but she never talked about it. She never uncovered them. And you may think, gosh, I don't want to always tell my kids how great they are, because then they'll get an inflated head, or they may think too highly of themselves than they ought to. Let me tell you, they're going to have people in their lives who criticize them. They're going to have people who are mean to them. They're going to have people who say ugly things about them. You be their greatest advocate. You be the one who says, you can do anything. You be the one who tells them that they are awesome. You correct them when they need to be corrected, but you got to remember that every time we do, we make a withdrawal from their lives. And so it's important to find those things that are awesome, to find those things that are great, to look for it and to tell them and to encourage them in that, because it's important. That's when you're making a deposit, right, Will? That's one thing I've learned from Will, is that you've got to make more deposits than you make withdrawals from your kids. And Dad talked about in the I Am series, he talked about only God can label you. And really, because we're their parents and we created them too, we can label our kids, but we get to label our kids. And so we can label them with who they are in God, who Christ is within them. How do you do this? How do you label your kids? How do you focus on their strengths? How do you see more in them than they see them themselves? We think about, how does God see us? And in Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill and cannot be hidden. You tell them they radiate light wherever they go." And Philippians 2:15 says, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. They shine like a firework in the night." See, Katy Perry had it right. "Baby, you're a firework. Let me see your color burst." And Jeremiah 29 says, "Tell them God has a plan for them, a plan for a life and a hope and a future." You tell them in Ephesians 2:10 that they are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do the good things he planned for them long ago. You tell them in 1 Peter 2:9, they are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare praises unto him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. You tell them in Romans 5:1, they are justified through faith. You tell them in Matthew 5:13 that they are the salt of the earth. And in 1 John 3:1, I love this. You say, "How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." That is who they are. They are God's children, and he's entrusted them to us and to our care. And so we have to treat them like they belong to him. I told Anna not long ago, I said, "Anna," I said, "you are the coolest girl I know." She said, "It took you 9 years to realize that." And see, I think for a long time, I was scared, you know, as a parent, because I want my kids to be humble and I want to impart humility and I don't want them to think more highly of themselves than they ought to. And, you know, we've had to have those conversations too. But I became fearful of being able to tell my kids, "You're awesome. You're great." And as I began to tell them who they are, I began to see them becoming who they really already are because of Christ in you, who he is, they are. And it's just that awareness of who they are. You be their greatest encourager. Number 5, Wanda Shaw. It's okay to be friends with your kids. I watched Wanda become friends with her girls and really become their best friend. She's the one they went to with the heartache. She's the one they went to with their triumphs. She's the one they went to for encouragement. She's the one they went to because she built a relationship and a friendship with them, and they trusted in it. John 15:15 says, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." You see, that's how Jesus discipled. Jesus discipled. He called them his friends. You know, I read an article not long ago on this, and, you know, you read lots of memes on Facebook or other places that says, "I'm not here to be your friend, I'm here to be your mother." And I get, you know, what's being said, I guess, the intent of what they're trying to get across. But you are not going to, by basing your relationship with your children solely on the title of mother or father. It's called a titular authority. And it may work, but there's no trust established. There's no relationship developed. It says the titular is defined as holding or constituting a purely formal position or title without any real authority. Having authority over your children by only fulfilling the position of mother or father is really no authentic authority at all. It is simply a dynamic based on fear and the feeling of being less than the parent. However, when we develop real relationships with our children, real friendships, we gain the ability to guide them, to coach them, and to enjoy them. It was probably a year ago, Anna wanted to go spend the night at this girl's house, and I just didn't have a peace about it, and I told her yes. And I had to go back and tell her no. And if you've ever been in that situation as a parent, it is the hardest situation to be in. And I went to her and I talked to her. And I said, Anna, I know I told you you could do this. And I said, I said, do you trust the Spirit in me? And she cried. I'm crying and she's crying. And she said, yes, I trust the Spirit in you. And I said, I need you to trust the Spirit in me. And I said, I just don't have a peace about it. And she received that. Now, I could have based that whole conversation on the fact that I'm her mother and said, it's just not going to happen. And she probably would have received it. But because I have allowed her to get close to me as a friend, she knows me and she knows God in me. And because she knows God in me, she trusts God in me. And it made what could have been a withdrawal in her life a deposit, even in that hard moment, because she trusted the Spirit within me because of that relationship. It's okay to be friends with your kids. Number six, Miss Penny Wesley. The quieter you get, the more you'll hear God. Now, just because Miss Penny is quiet does not mean she's reserved. She can belt out George Strait's All My Exes Live in Texas with the best of them. We have sung that together many a times. But Penny, raise your hand if she has ever spoken a word over your life. Okay, a lot of you. You see, here's the thing. It's not often that she has imparted to me or words or spoken a word, but when she does, I listen because I know she's been quiet and she's been with God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. And Dad, in the James study, you talked about be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. See, this is how wisdom flows. This is how discernment flows, is when you're able to listen for God's still small voice, and then that's when his words of guidance comes to you. I get stressed in the thralls of parenting, and I will Google this, I'll Google that. I've been there where I pull and I draw from people because I want to know what to do. I want answers. And then sometimes, you know, you just have to silence all the voices and get quiet and allow the Spirit to speak to you for your children's lives, for your lives. And you know what? Wisdom will speak and it will come. You have to get quiet and you don't have to ask God for wisdom. It's already within you. You've learned to say, Spirit of wisdom, flow to me, in me, through me, from me. And Spirit of wisdom will do just that. Be still and know he is God. The quieter you get, the more you will hear God. Number seven, Linda Hardwick. She's part of my rock. Enjoy every moment. It goes by faster than you think. If I've heard Linda tell me this one time, I've heard her tell me 1,000 times, it's going to fly by. It's going to fly by. Psalm 39:4 says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each of us is but a breath. If this is true in our own lives, it is so much more true with raising children. Chris and I were heading to Panama City a couple of years ago in the car, and nothing like a road trip with the family. And I remember I looked at Chris, and I'm like, you know, in just a few short years, this season of our life will be over. Like, this whole parenting season. And I'm like having this, you know, moment, you know, where I get a little teary and, you know, I'm just thinking about, gosh, I'm going to blink my eyes and it's all over. And then Chris, so serious, just says, don't tease me. Don't tease me. Sometimes you want that time to fly by, especially on a road trip. But something my dad has taught me, you can recreate moments as adults. You don't get to recreate the moments with your children and when they're small. And this is where we learn to become observers more than participators. You got to participate, but you don't participate well unless you observe well and you observe those moments well. And it's easy to allow frustration in hard seasons to rob us of those moments. He was not quite three, went through the bedtime tantrum phase, and my older two never really did that. They didn't tantrum, they just got up. It was awful. And I downloaded every book on toddler tantrums. I was taking communion. I was calling my mom. I remember one time, I kid you not, this just so you know, the parenting is not always great in my house. Jet's trying to get out the door, and I'm holding the door closed. Like, I'm literally holding the door. I'm on the phone with mom crying. I can't do this. And so about 2 months later, and about $200 in download of books later, it was done. Like, we were through it. But in that moment, I thought, oh, my gosh, I am never going to get through this. This is going to last forever. But no book helped me. It was just time. And if we're not careful, we will allow those hard seasons to rob us of those moments. Lauren Stewart's she's a young mom and just had her second. She has two kids under two. And she put on Facebook something so beautiful the other day. She was talking about how sometimes she wishes she had time to exercise, or she wishes she had time to clean up this or clean up that. And she said, she was talking about little Willow. She may not remember these moments. She goes, but I will, and she will feel the effects of my choice to be with her. And I can tell you that I promise you, I just walked John Henry into his kindergarten class and sat him down in his little name tag at his desk and took a video, and he just looked at me like, Mom, leave. And now he's going to be walking into middle school. And I'm like, oh my gosh, stop, slow down. Enjoy the moments. You don't get a do-over. You don't get to recreate the moments. So enjoy and observe. This next pick, I forgot about this. I saw this. My phone died, so I spent some time with the family today. They seem like nice people. I thought everybody in my house would be like, that's Mom. So, isn't that hilarious? They seem like nice people. You seem like nice people. Number eight. Guess y'all know who this one's going to be. Barbara Goss. I have learned that motherhood, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. 1 Corinthians says, love never gives up. It never loses faith. Is always hopeful and endures every circumstance. It'd be very easy for me to fill in that scripture and to take love out and to put my mom's name, that my mom never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and she endures through every circumstance. There have been times in my almost 40 years that I know she's wanted to give up. Nobody would have blamed her for cashing in the chips on Dad, on me, on everything, but she is simply not who she is. She never stops believing for the best. She never stops filling in the gap of what she wanted to happen with what actually happens with love and forgiveness. She never stops believing that the best is yet to come. She never stops believing in life situations. She doesn't stop believing in you, in me. And if you were to go to my mom with a heavy heart or a deflated spirit, you were going to leave her presence with a renewed hope that there's good to come. There's always better. It's worth enduring. You keep believing. You keep holding on. I like this quote. It says, "Motherhood is near to divinity. It is the highest, holiest service to be assumed by mankind." And my mom is certainly near to divinity. Of course, she would tell you, you do it well, then you get to be a nan. Chris said not long ago, he says, when our kids are grown and they have kids, we've got to move to some island somewhere because we can't let our kids do to us what we do to your mom. Because she is divine, no doubt. But she has served this body for 38 years. And what makes her endure and believe is that she believes in you. And she believes in you because she believes in the God inside of you. And she knows as much as she loves you and she loves me, she knows how much more God loves you. And so there's this trust there. And there's this, so there should be a trust with God with our own children, that as much as we love them, God loves them so much more. And I wanted to share this. I wanted to, because, you know, we're celebrating 50 years this year at EWC. And there's a rock of women here. There's many more than what I, many more women who, and men who are rocks that you can go to and navigate through life and journey together. But these are the women who were my mothers, who created my rock. But you have the ability to be able to go to that rock and to draw from. You may be in a place today where you say, gosh, it's so hard to be patient with my kids. And it's so hard to be aware of my sound and tone. Or you may be good at showing, you know, your family or your kids or the people in your life that you love them because of the way you provide or the way you serve them. But words are sweet like honey. And maybe you're at a place to where you just need that little bit of nudge to say what you love about that person. It might be learning to embrace our differences and accept our differences, and realizing that everybody's not going to fit this mold. But in that accepting and embrace, you start to love the differences. And you start to enjoy the differences. Maybe you need to be a better encourager and focus on the strengths and take your eyes off of what you don't see or what you want to see, but start looking at what's already there and start telling your kids what's already there, telling each other what's already there. Maybe you need to reestablish your friendship or realize it's okay to pull your kids close and let them see inside of you. Even sometimes my kids see my struggles. They've seen me have to navigate through things in my own life, and I've allowed them to see the realness of me. Maybe it's to get quieter. Maybe you're one of those who can be like me and Google the internet for this or for that, or for you're just reaching for answers from people, and sometimes you just need to get quiet and hear the Spirit speak to you, for you. Maybe you're rushing through and you're trying to just get to the next day, and you're just trying to get through, get the baby sleeping through the night, to get through the toddler tantrums to get through. I'm not even in middle school. I'm not with the teenagers yet. Can't imagine. Get through that, and you're not slowing down. Maybe you just need to take the times to enjoy the moments. Or maybe you're in a place where you thought about giving up on your marriage, giving up on relationships, and you just need a renewed hope that he who began a good work in you and he who began a good work in your children and in your spouse and in your family will be faithful to complete it. And so if that's you this morning, and if you just want to stay where you are and raise your hand, and if any of these areas, if everybody would just bow their heads, and we're just going to pray, and we're just going to thank God. If that's you, if you need prayer this morning, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are not a condemning God, that you are a God of grace and a God of love, and that your thoughts about us, Lord, are great. Your thoughts about us, Lord, are wonderful. And I just thank you, Father, for every mother here. I thank you, Father, Lord, that because of the power of your Spirit within each of them, within all of us, Lord, that we have everything we need to be all that you've called us to be. And so this morning, Lord, we thank you for your strength. We thank you, Father, Lord, that in our weakness, you are strong. And so we look to your strength. And we thank you, Lord, Father, that you who began a good work, long before we were born, Lord, you planned for us to do good things, and that you will be faithful to complete it. I thank you, Father, Lord, for the rock from which I was cut. We thank you, Lord, Father, for that rock that we can go to. Lord, for healing, for renewed hope. And we thank you, Lord, that the love resides within us to bear all things, to believe all things, and to hope all things. And Lord, and that love never, ever fails. It is never without effect. We give you glory, and we thank you, Father. And everybody says, amen.